Jude 22 and 23, please. I want to speak to you this morning on this thought, pulling them out of the fire. Pulling them out of the fire. Now, before I begin, I'd like to say to you this morning that if there's anybody here that's not sure of their salvation, I'd like to pull you out of the fire this morning. If there's anybody here who is lost, dead right in their sin, and they know it, they've not been living for God, I'd like the privilege this morning of pulling you also out of the fire. There's not a greater privilege for a man of God or a preacher than to pull somebody out of the flames. Let's read in Jude just before the book of Revelation, verse 22 and 23. I want you to read these verses aloud with me, if you will. Let's look at those verses and read together. Ready? And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I want to get you to look especially at that one little phrase where it says, and others save with fear, then the phrase, pulling them out of the fire. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for loving us. Dear Lord, we're so happy to have been here in Ashtabula at the Bible Baptist Church all this week. We thank you so much for the folks who've come and really, I feel, have been revived, touched by Almighty God. Dear Lord, there's some folks here this morning that's never heard the gospel this week in this particular fellowship. And this morning I pray somehow you'll break our hearts. Dear Lord, if there's anybody here, young or old alike, that's not saved or does not know Christ, help them this morning hour to come to the Lord Jesus, who is to know us to have life and life eternal. God, help us not just to be telling stories, but help us to preach. Bless the listeners, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Pulling them out of the fire. I'll start the message this morning by telling you a story that a preacher once told me. Told of a wealthy man who had come to his revival. The preacher had been preaching for nearly a week. And on Friday evening, that wealthy businessman walked into the church service. The preacher saw him come in, knew he was not saved, began to pray for him even as he was preaching. Prayed that God would somehow stir him and save him that particular day. The invitation came and he did not come. The preacher, for some reason, felt such a burden and a compassion for that particular man. Not often did he do it, but this time he did. He walked to the back of the building where that man was sitting and began to deal with him about his salvation and his soul's destiny. The wealthy man said, no, I wouldn't come. Don't really want to. I just came because I was curious of what's happening here at this particular church. But I don't want to go to church to get saved. No, sir, it's not for me. That was on a Friday evening. The preacher held the revival kind of uncommonly 2 weeks. The next Thursday, the wealthy man's wife called that particular pastor of the church and the evangelist and said, is it possible that you fellows could come and see my husband, John? I don't know what in the world's wrong with John. Something is terribly wrong. He will not go to the doctor. He will not go to the hospital. This is a true story, by the way. But something's radically wrong with John. The preacher said, we'll be right there. Took the evangelist and over they went. They walked in the house into John's bedroom. And in John's bedroom, the wife was standing on one side and the daughter on the other side of the bed. And John said, hi, preacher. Don't! Suddenly started screaming. Don't! Don't let them take me! The preacher went hurriedly to the bedside and said, John, got him by the arm. But what's the matter? He said, don't, preacher, don't let him take me. He said, what are you talking about, John? There's nobody else here but us. He said, no, can't you see him? Don't let him wrap that chain around my feet. Please, don't. The preacher was aghast. He said, there's nobody here, John. What are you talking about? John said, preacher, can't you see the devil? Can't you see how he's wrapping those chains around my feet? Don't let him do that. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. We might think that story's a little weird and not really true, but let me tell you something. There is really a spirit world, and there is really a devil, and there are really evil spirits. This is no game. This is real life. We may not always be able to see the evidence of the devil or his imps or his spirits, but I'm here to tell you this morning, on this Sunday morning, here in the month of April 1992, that the devil is just as real as what I'm trying to describe to you, and he would like to take every single one of us in this room right to the pit forever and ever and ever. Where are you this morning? Are you saved? John began to cry out, "Don't let him take me! Can't you see that devil? He's got the chains wrapping around my ankles now. Oh, he's going to take me." Now the story went on a little further. The man kept crying, "Preacher, here it comes. Here it comes. He's around my neck now." And suddenly the preacher said there was a terrible look. A horrible look that came on this fellow's face as he lay on the bed. And suddenly he gasped. And finally he slumped over. And he died right there in that bed. You know, if you're not saved this morning, that same devil is coming after you. You might say, "I don't buy that garbage." The devil's coming after you if you're not saved. And I want to tell you one more thing. If you are saved, and you're not telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you this morning, you are actually helping the devil to take your family and friends to a devil's hell. Every mom and daddy here who is not living for God, not really born again, not really trusting the Savior, you're helping your family go to a devil's hell. Brethren, it is no game. It is real life. Some of us someday are going to die, and we're going to face the devil in hell. That's as well as my name is James Lewis. You're going to face the devil and not be in heaven, but be in hell. There is a real, literal, burning, fiery hell. And the devil's doing his best to take you there. You might try to shut me off this morning. You might try to say, "I'll not listen to that loudmouth preacher." But I'm telling you, someday, if you get your heart right with God, walk down to the old-fashioned mourner's bench and trust Christ, you'll thank me the longest day of eternity that I preached to you and got through to you. Amen. Go to Luke chapter number 16, please. Luke chapter 16. Let me show you a verse of Scripture in verse 22, 23, and 24. And in hell, I made reference to this last night. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. That's the rich man who died and was buried. And in hell, lifted up his eyes, don't forget. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." There's real flames in hell. Don't you listen to somebody who says there's no flames in hell. Someday you'll suffer those flames if you don't believe it. There's real flame in hell. Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented." Some of us in this room may be tormented someday. You're not tormented now. You ought to thank God that you're not. But someday you may. You see, in hell, where did the devil take that man with the chains wrapped around his ankles and his feet and wrapped around his neck, who was screaming and crying, "Preacher, don't let him take me. Don't let him, can't you see the devil?" Where did he take him? Where did the devil take that man? The same place he took the rich man? In hell, in torments. By the way, notice the word in Luke. It didn't say one torment. It said there are torments in hell. He said there are torments, plural, in hell. You see, my friend, in hell there's real fire, but there's more than just fire. And I'm so saddened this morning that more ministers who are preaching the gospel today do not believe in hell than ministers who do believe in hell. Can you believe that folks are so deceived and being lied to every Sunday morning, every Sunday night? Just believe a social gospel. Just come to a nice church building. Just go to a nice preacher and hear him preach and hear them sing. But we'll not tell them the truth about hell. God help us. Oh, how we need to know the truth about hell. Amen? In hell, there's torments. There's thirst in hell. There's blackness in hell. There's falling in hell. There's worms feeding on the body in hell. There's a stinging conscience in hell. There's a being consistently occupied with other wicked people in hell. There's fear in hell. There's a smell of fire and brimstone in hell. There's in hell unfulfilled lust and unfulfilled desires. There is screaming and crying. The Bible said they'll be cast in outer darkness where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, not too many churches this morning are going to be preaching on hell, I guarantee you. But there's a lot of folks going to hell who could be saved from going there if somebody would just tell them the story. I'm your friend this morning trying to tell you the story that there is a real literal hell. And the Bible speaks about it. Where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, the torments. Not just one, but the torments of hell. And the Bible says, if the filthy want to be filthy, let the filthy be filthy still. But all you who are here this morning, who hear the gospel message, could say to yourself and say to God, God, I played the game long enough. I've done it long enough. Now I'm going to give myself to Jesus Christ. I want to be saved today. You might be sitting here this morning saying, I don't understand it all, preacher. You don't have to understand it all. All you need to do is understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins. There is a literal hell that you would go to if you're not saved. But if you could trust Christ this morning, you could be saved from your sin. Knowing 100% for sure, as you laid your head on the pillow tonight, that you are saved and on your way to heaven. What a glorious truth. If you will, go with me to Luke chapter number 12, verse 4 and 5. And I say unto you, this is Jesus Christ talking. This is Luke chapter number 12, verse 4 and 5. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. It's what Jesus said, folks. It's important words then. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. He's talking about the devil. Brethren, ladies and gentlemen, teenagers, juniors, does it make any difference who you are, how old you are? If you die without Christ, you're headed for hell. There's no way you can soften that message. There's no way you can make it more palatable to your taste. If you're not saved, you're headed for hell. But I'm trying my best this morning in this house of God to be your friend, to help you understand how you might escape hell and make heaven your home. Can you imagine how it would be forever? To be where there is screaming and crying and torment and suffering forever? What about the torment of hell? What does the Bible have to say about it? You will not have time to turn to all these verses, but I want to give you little bleeps from each verse, if I may. Somebody has asked me before, preacher, does the Bible really talk about hell? Does the Bible really say anything about hell? I thought hell was a figment of your imagination. Or I thought when you went to hell, it was poof, you're all burned up and it's over and that's the end of torment. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody fed you the wrong information. In the Word of God, I want to give you about six or seven different settings of Scripture where it talks about hell, if I may. The first one is Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 14. It says there is everlasting burnings. You see, just as you talk about the everlasting Father, and we talk about the everlasting bliss of heaven and the everlasting happiness of the glory world, and we like to use that word everlasting. That means it never comes to an end. That means in hell that Isaiah 33 verse 14 says that there will be everlasting burnings. That means you'll not be consumed, you'll not be burned up, but you will be cast into hell and forever. Do you realize how long that is? Forever is a long time. Everlasting burnings. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says there will be everlasting destruction. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 2, it says there will be eternal judgment. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 29, it talks about eternal damnation. In Jude verse 7, it says there shall be eternal fire. Fire, did you hear that? Some folks want you to believe there is no fire, there is no flame. You can sit there, make fun of me, look at me, snarl at me. You can sit there, fold your arms and say, I'll not believe it. I got my own way of thinking, got my own way of living. Ladies and gentlemen, all that means nothing when it comes to the blessed Word of God. And the final say will be not Pastor James Lewis, not Dr. D. Larry Emery. It will be, ladies and gentlemen, what thus saith the Word of God. Now, if I can show you what the Word of God says, and you can warn yourself and flee to an old-fashioned mourner's bench and get it settled, wouldn't you be happier? You better know you would. You better know it. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 11 says, the smoke Listen to this. Revelation 14:11 says, the smoke of their torment, the folks who go to hell, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Forever and ever means it never ceases. So that means this. There's a theme song of the lost. You know, we sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing His praise than when we first begun. And we all like to sing that, don't we? When we've been there 10,000 years, boy, we sing it bright, shining as the sun. We've known, and we rejoice about that, do we not?
Amen.
You know what the theme song of the lost shall be? When we've been there 10 million years, burning body, limb, and tongue, we have no less years to scream with tears than when we first begun. Brethren, the theme song of the lost is going to be terrible. Are you here this morning without God, sitting in a fundamental Bible-preaching church that preaches the truth? Are you going to walk right out of the building this morning lost as you came in? How dare you do that when God loves you so much? How dare you take advantage of the great love and mercy of our God? He's not trying to batter you. He's not trying to beat you. He's trying to love you into the kingdom. When we've been there 10,000 years, when we've been with Him, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing His praise than when we first begun. Isn't that a better song?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go to Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 25. Let me just show you another portion of Scripture that is so important. Matthew 25. Let's look down, if you will, to verse number 41. Then shall He say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, here it is, into everlasting fire. Did you see what Jesus said? Matthew 25:41. Then shall He say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Drop down, if you will, to verse number 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, where would you want to go? You have two choices. You can either go into everlasting punishment or the everlasting fire or eternal damnation, or thank God, you can go into life eternal.
Amen.
You can go to life eternal. You have that choice this morning. Oh, isn't it wonderful that we have that privilege to choose this morning? You're here in the house of God and you can choose. Then somebody asked me the question, well, preacher, how long is eternity? And someone explained how long eternity was, and let me try to explain it to you. They said this, you add all the grains of sand from all the seashores and multiply all those grains of sand from all the seashores by all the drops of water and all the ocean and all the lakes and all the rivers and all the pools and all the ponds. And then you take that number that you find and you multiply it by all the leaves of all the trees that's ever been in the world. And then you take that number that you find and multiply it by all the human beings that have ever lived, well over 4 billion people. And then you take that number that you find and you multiply it by all the stars in the universe, and there are billions of them, by the way. And the writer said, the years of eternity are more than that. Brother, eternity is a long time. Amen?
Amen.
Most excruciating pain. May I say this to you? The most excruciating pain that is known to man, the most excruciating pain known to the body, is fire. There's nothing, if anybody's ever had a house fire, or anybody injured in a fire, there's nothing any more crucial, there's nothing any more excruciating, there's nothing any more worse pain than a fire. A story was told of a truck driver. This is so sad, but this is true. He happened to come up on another truck, and the other semi-truck had, for some reason, slammed up against the mountain down in the Carolinas. And he was pinned. That driver of the truck who slammed into the side of the mountain was pinned in that truck. The truck started to burn. The second trucker who had come upon the scene noticed it and jumped out of his rig and ran down the road and to the guy's help that was in the truck. He pulled him all the way out of that truck except his foot and his ankle. His foot and his ankle got caught in a position where the guy couldn't pull him out. The guy was conscious now again, And he said, please hurry. Get me out of this thing. Please hurry. You got to remember, the truck was already on fire. The intensity of the heat was building. He said, hurry! Get me out of this truck! Hurry! Please hurry! The guy was frantically trying to pull him out, and he couldn't. So the fellow who was in the truck, trapped by his ankle and his foot, said, listen, you have a knife? Just cut my foot off! Get me out of here! Cut it off! I'd rather lose my foot! And to die in this intense flame. The truck driver had a knife. And sure enough, he cut through the fellow's leg. Cut all the way around, cut the skin as far as he could, cut some tendons, and this fellow's screaming, that's okay, go ahead, cut it off, let's get out of here. As hard as that other truck driver tried, ladies and gentlemen, he could not break the bone, and he could not cut the foot completely off. True story says that the intensity of that flame was so hot, and it got so excruciatingly hot for him, he couldn't even breathe. And he said, sir, I'm sorry to leave you, but I can't help you anymore. I can't get your foot cut off. And he said, you're bloody and you're dying and I'm sorry, but I can't help you anymore. The second truck driver tried to be such a friend, but he had to leave. And there that man was screaming, isn't there somebody who can help? Isn't there somebody who can help? Ladies and gentlemen, those stories to me just rock me. And oh, they make me feel terrible inside. But if you're not saved, that's exactly what's going to happen in hell. You go look at Dr. Emery. Oh, doctor, please. I'm sorry I didn't come when you had that evangelist preach. I heard all the sermons. I heard how the preacher preached. I heard how the altar services went. Oh, help me. I'm suffering so bad. Sorry. There's nothing more we can do. And that's going to be the case. This is not made up story, folks. That's going to be the case in hell. We don't hear enough preaching about hell. Our people go along in their merry way as if everything is okay, live their filthy, rotten lives any old way they wish. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves you this morning, and he wants to save you. Oh, if that truck driver could have pulled him from the rig, don't you think he'd have been happy? I'm telling you this morning, I'd like to pull everybody from the fire this morning. I'd like to see old smutty face, slew foot devil get slapped right in the face this morning as somebody who is one of his prime sinners says, bless God, I'm done with it. I'm coming to Jesus this morning. You can make the God of heaven thrill. You can make the devil tremble. You see, the devil trembles when he sees a good old fundamental service going on and somebody getting ready to say, I'm getting ready to meet God. I'm coming to Jesus this morning. Would I convince you? Could I convince you? Can I convince you this morning? Young people are old. I'm coming to Jesus. That's it. I've heard it. I'm coming. Amen. Without Christ, you'll be in hell saying, don't let me burn. But you'll burn forever. Don't you see this match? Look as it burns. See that match? Now they tell me that that match is a yellow flame. And they say that flame that's in that match is called a cool flame. And they say the cool flame is one that is a lot less intense and a lot less heated than a fire would be in a house fire or in a coal burner or a wood burner or that sort of thing. You know what? If this is a cool flame, I'm going to guarantee you that Dr. Larry Emery cannot hold his finger in that cool flame. How long do you suppose, if I asked Dr. Emery to come, if I light this match one more time, if he could hold his fingers in that match for 60 seconds, I wonder if he could do it. Now, this is a cool flame. Less intense and less heated than a regular fire flame. Well, let's see. How long do you suppose? Now, he's not going to fake it. I don't want him to fake it. I want to see how long he can hold his finger in this cool flame. You time me. Oh. Thank you, brother. That look like 60 seconds to you? But I could bring anybody up here as a volunteer to find out who could hold their finger in that flame for 60 seconds, and there's not one person. And yet we take hell so lightly. We don't even think about it. And we don't want our preachers preaching about it. But ladies and gentlemen, someday, if we're not saved, we're headed for the devil's hell with a flaming fire.
Amen.
That's hotter than any little old match. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you helping your family to go to hell because you won't witness to them about the Lord? You won't say anything about heaven or hell? God help us who think we're so good and we're saved and we're okay and nobody else counts. Folks are dying and going to hell. Depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire. If we would but be put in fire, and I thought about this morning as I was preparing this message, if we would be put in the fire of hell for just 1 hour, brother, I guarantee you there'd be a change in the way every single one of us live. You think if God would give us the chance to just spend 1 hour in hell to see what it was really like, brother, I'm telling you right now, Brother Tim, we'd come out of that hellfire with a different story on our face. I tell you right now, we'd be going to every single person trying to get them from the devil's hell. Are you listening to me? You know, if God would send Michael the archangel down to hell and say, well, folks, in hell here, you only have 5 million years to go, and in 5 million years, you get out. You know, some of us who might be in hell would say, whoo, boy, only 5 million years. That's not bad. But you know what? Michael's not ever going to be sent. Because hell doesn't last 5 million years. It lasts forever. You know what that tells me? There is no hope. Looks like to me that folks would wise up a little bit. It looks like to me that folks would get serious about God. When traffic accidents are happening all the time and people are dying, and people are dying of heart attacks at, yes, age 30, when folks are dying of AIDS and all sorts of disease, it looks like to me that people would say, I've got to get serious about God. If I don't get serious, I'm going to die and split hell wide open. I don't want to die and go to hell. Do we really understand about hell? I've got to close with this story and I'm done. There's a teenage boy who had lived a wild, rebellious life. Oh, he was so wild. He was so rebellious, would not listen to anybody. He came to a revival meeting one night and was really broken up. In fact, he came to the altar that night as a young teenage lad and just literally bawled and bawled and bawled. Just cried his eyes full of tears. And he said, you know, preacher, I haven't feared God at all. Oh, I've lived my life. And he put his hands in his head like this. I haven't lived for God. I've laughed at God. I made fun of the preacher in the church. Oh, but I'm so scared. I'm so scared. He said, I saw something the other night. It shook me up so bad. The preacher said, what did you see, son? Well, that young man got right with God that night, but he said, here's what he saw. See, we had this great big party, and one of our buddies had broken into a chemical plant and had stole a vial of chemicals. The property of that chemical is such that when it comes in contact with water, it viciously explodes and burns. And this buddy of ours came to this party, and it was a drunken party. We was doping and drinking and having a big time, we thought. And my buddy had this little vial of chemical. He took a little eyedropper full, and he'd drop it in the sink, and where the water would hit the chemical, it would boom, it would explode. Just one little drop. Just boom, right there. Everybody's laughing. Boy, isn't this great, man. Look at this. And boom, you know. Boy, he's having a big time. Everybody laughing, half drunk, doped up. And he said, everybody's having such a good time and lots of fun. And then he said, my buddy thought a tablespoon in the commode would look really neat. We could take a tablespoon of that and put it in the commode. We'd just blow that thing all up. That'd be neat. Hit that water, and boom, boy, she'd blow. Boy, that'd be sharp. And so he got a tablespoon out of the kitchen drawer. And he staggered because he was drunk. He staggered into the bathroom, and he slipped and he fell. And when he fell, that whole vial of chemical hit the commode, broke, hit the water, and splashed all over this young man. The chemical with the water. Suddenly, he was a burning, engulfed flame individual. Exploded, boom, like that, exploded. And he just started burning all over. Every place where the chemical was and the water was, it just started burning. He started screaming and crying, oh, help me! Somebody help me! Rolling on the floor. They finally rushed him to the hospital. Burnt terrible. Burnt awful. Laying on the cart there in the emergency room. He was so burning. The little nurse, not knowing exactly what the chemical was, would wet a little cloth. And she'd wet the cloth and put it on his forehead to try to give him a little bit of relief. And every time he did, because the chemical was still in his body, and remember what the chemical does when it comes in contact with water? It explodes. A little explosion would take place in his forehead. Ah! He'd scream, "Don't do that!" And he was reading. And the more he read, the more he perspired. The more perspiration he had, the greater the little blue flames shot from his body. The young man who had gotten saved that night of the revival said, "Preacher, I saw that." He said, "God's been talking to me. I've had it. That's it. I don't know why I keep fooling and playing around with God. I'm done with it. I'm done. I'm coming to Jesus." That young man, for 2.5 hours in that emergency room and operating room, suffered the flames, not of hell, but the flames from that chemical and that water connection. But someday, ladies and gentlemen, folks in this building, if they're not right with God, are going to suffer the flames of hell. Boy, I tell you what, I'll say it one more time. If I could, if you could listen to me closely enough, if I could take you out of the grip of the old adversary, the devil, the slewed foot, that stinking rotten devil, and pull you out of the fire, I'd like this morning to pull you and pull you and pull you till I get you away from the devil himself. I love you this morning, but I can't help you if you don't come. There's nothing I can do. You could have heard me preach. I could have sung. I could have prayed. But if you don't come on your own, I can't help you. Would you let me this morning pull you out of the fire? Oh, if I could pull you out of the flames. Why don't you come and give yourself to Jesus? Would you stand, everybody? Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Let this be the most serious time in this service right now. Don't anyone talk or leave, please. Somebody could be on the very verge. Now, you might be saying to yourself, "You know, preacher, everybody thinks I'm saved." Well, I thought I was saved. That doesn't make any difference now. You search your heart and life right now, sir. And if you're not 100% for sure that you're saved, let me pull you out of the fire. For hell is so very, very real. Heads now are bowed and eyes are closed, please. Church, let's have a shout this morning because we pulled somebody else out of the fire. Let's see somebody come this morning. Let's pray, Father. Dear Lord, hell is so very real. But our God is so very great. Our God is so real. And he loves us so much this morning. I pray that folks here this morning who are not sure, maybe they know for sure they're not saved, they would come this morning. Help us not to walk out of this building ignoring everything we've heard. God, save somebody today. Bring somebody back to yourself. Bring others who are away from you back to the place of where they really know God. In Jesus' name. We're going to ask the singers and the musician to play. I'd like to ask you if you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a moment. Just let God deal with these hearts and lives. And as they sing now and play, would you come?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus.
Come on, would you step from your seat very quickly this morning?
Calling for you.
I'm not saved, preacher, and I know it. But I'm coming to Jesus this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning and you would say, "I'm saved, but I'm so far from God. And I need to get back where I'm supposed to be with God." Could you come and talk with Dr. Emery this morning, your pastor? Thank you for coming. Would others come and join this one who's coming this morning? Don't let another service go by, please. Thank you, sir, for coming. Thank you, sir, for coming. Thank you, man, for coming.
Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus.
Come on, don't let another service go, please.
Calling,
oh, come on, let's have a real revival service this morning. Young people, are you really saved? Teenagers, do you know God? Do you really know God?
When Jesus,
if you don't, would you step out of your seat? Let me help you this morning.
Leading for you,
come on.
And for me.
You're not saved? You're not sure?
why should we linger?
Thank God for bringing folks to the altar this morning.
Not his mercies, mercies for you and for me.
Young couple, older couple, are you really sure? How can you really be happy unless Christ is the head? Your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Just one more moment, please. There's many up here this morning who are being dealt with, who are trusting Christ or getting back in the right relationship. But there you stand. You haven't made any decision yet. You've been challenged, all right, but no decision. No revival. Oh, God, help us. Why don't you make a decision this morning? What are you waiting for? What is it going to take to get you to God? Does it have to be another tragedy? Will you be another sad story that will be told down the road by Brother Emery? There was a young couple, there was a teenager, there was an older couple, there was an older lady, there was a middle-aged, I hope not, and trust not. They're going to sing it again. I'm going to give this altar call another minute or two. Why don't you just make the devil's kingdom miserable today and make the kingdom of our dear Son, the Savior of the universe, make the kingdom of God so happy and so thrilled because you've left sin and come to join Jesus. Come on. Let's sing it one more time. Would you come to this altar, please?
Softly and
he's talking to you.
Tenderly, Jesus,
come on, he's talking.
Is calling.
Thank God for those who come.
Calling for you and for me.
Come on. Make it your day, please.
On the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Heads are bowed, eyes are still closed, as folks are making major decisions that's going to change their life. I just feel that God's talking to some others in this building. Another couple have come, but maybe you're still there being dealt with by the Almighty Spirit of God. Would you kindly step from your seat, please? If I were to ask you this morning, how many in this room know 100% for sure that you're saved? How many of you could raise your hand and say, without a doubt, preacher, I know I'm saved. Could I see your hand? Slip it up and hold it there for just a moment. I know without a doubt. I know without a doubt that I'm saved. Thank you. That's not everybody in the whole building, you understand. There's still some folks who do not know whether they're saved or not. That means somebody in this building is headed for hell. Church, would you help me pray? Hell is so very, very real. And they need to be saved today. I ask you one more time. We pray before our Father that you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to know us to have life and life eternal. Would you come today? Sing it again, Brother Brian, would you please? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Would you come?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me.
Oh, let's come
see
to Jesus today.
On the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me.
Would you come kindly today?
Come home.
He's waiting. I want you to come home.
Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnest
your Father.
Calling, oh sinner, come home.
Let's bow for prayer for just a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. I thank you for what's been transacted around this altar. But dear Lord, somehow in my heart, I feel you're still dealing with somebody. I don't know who that somebody is, but God, you do. I so want to be their friend this morning. I want to be able to somehow pull them out of the fire. God, help this church to pray. And dear Lord, I ask if there's anyone else in this building who needs to come and trust you, that you'll not let them go until they come forward and trust our Savior. Thank you for the folks who've come and knelt at this altar, and some who've trusted Christ and given themselves in salvation, others who've come back to the Lord in dedication and consecration. But dear Lord, I pray for that one or two more that you're dealing with, whoever they are. God, send that revival and bring us a victory. Let Jesus Christ be honored. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed.